Gentile prorettore, professori, studenti, signore e signori, era un piacere di incontrarle in questa magnifica cattedrale di saggezza per il quarto anno consecutivo. E il mio piacere di trasmettere delle idee e discutere con voi per la formazione di un governo aperto, impegnato e multilivello base sull'Unione Europea. My dear friends, when Professor Beekmans gave me the idea to give some reflection on intercultural dialogue in territorial cooperation and education perspective, I was of course reminding that for all of us Europeans and world citizens, Galileo is a quintessence for this university, so I'm questioning myself if this title is not the quadrat of the circle. And I can say very clearly my reflections will not go to astronomy or in-depth physics, because it's not my first educational part. Today I would like to reflect in the presence of the youngest of all professors I ever met, not to be gentile, but we have age is a question of mindset, it's not a question of years, and for this reason I'm really happy to be at you for the fourth time. It is a wonderful university, and so it gives me the occasion today to reflect with you on at least one out of the essential questions. How can we come to European education and policy that strengthens our human capital and provides students of all generations with the right skills and attitudes to take full advantage of the networked and interdependent world we live in? And first, a word on the division of competences in the field of education policy within the European Union. And we'll have this afternoon the excellent, well-known capacity of Professor Jan de Groof to make clear this wonderful landscape of education in Europe. But as you all know, education policy remains chiefly a competence of the member states. Indeed, the European Union has only a supporting and coordinated competence in this field. But in the meantime, we know what the supporting and coordinating competence does mean. And the Bologna Agreement is, of course, providing for the general European framework, and its content is well known to all of you. However, I like to point out that in many member states, local and regional authorities are vested with direct responsibilities and powers in the field of education and training. They are responsible for the delivery of education and training services, which provide a structure for lifelong learning through the provisions of preschool, school, youth, adult and community education services. Local and regional authorities throughout the Union have a long and continued historical role as, may I say, initiators, pioneers, providers and enablers of educational services across the whole of the education sector. Moreover, as major employers, they stand to gain directly from efforts to improve the skills of their so-called workforce. Hence, educational policy is essentially a multi-actor and multi-leveled field of competence. A multi-actor and multi-leveled field of competence. And therefore, its success will largely depend on joint coordination and cooperation between all private and public actors involved. It is a very good example of the two dimensions of subsidiarity. Too long, too much, we are focusing on the vertical dimension of subsidiarity, local, regional, state, Europe. But as a matter of fact, the horizontal dimension of subsidiarity, to give trust to the actors in our society, to give trust and place and room to the economic, evidently, entrepreneurs, the social entrepreneurs, the cultural entrepreneurs, and the educational entrepreneurs, is not just a question of multi-level approach, but it is a real example of multi-actor approach. And that is what we have to have in mind, that also for upcoming European regulations, that we have to connect and to see the correlation between this vertical and this horizontal dimension. Second, we should ask ourselves what kind of education and trainings will be vital for the future. It is the why or the content question, more important than the structural one. The European Council notes that education and vocational training are crucial to the Union's ability to rise to today's challenges. Education initiatives must include encouragement for various forms of knowledge, knowledge acquisition and development, so that more people can be supported more successfully. More people can be supported more successfully. And for our Committee of the Regions of the European Union, education issues are crucial if Europe is to mobilize competitively in conditions that can safeguard welfare, well-being, and, of course, based on values. Europe's biggest assets, my dear students, are its people. For a long time, the P of place was important, and still the P of Padua, evidently. But the real asset is the people. And as I am commenting often, when we got the world maps, where there was the Mercator approach to put Rupelmonde, a small city, even not an urban city, in the center of all maps of the world, the simple reason was that he was from Rupelmonde. In the meantime, we know that maps and places are, because everybody is interconnected, it is the P of people. And people, they must be equipped for a working life and type of work that differ significantly from those of previous generations. And therefore, effective transfer of knowledge and skills across the regions and localities of the Union through greater mobility of its citizens can help boost competitiveness and employment. And finally, mutual understanding. Mobility leads to mutual understanding, hopefully. The Committee of the Regions has pronounced itself on the Union's integrated program for lifelong learning. And the Committee can endorse much of the European lifelong learning strategy, which starts in early childhood and continues all through life, and welcomes the fact that it embraces learning acquired in various ways, such as formal, non-formal and informal learning. Formal, non-formal and informal learning. On several occasions we have emphasized that the lifelong learning strategy concerns the region and local level closely, as it often shoulders political and economic responsibility for the education and training sector in our member states. And access to a knowledge society is a fundamental right and the cornerstone of a citizen's Europe. And this concerns not only the integration of people into the labor market, but also into social, cultural, and civic life. The idea of the Nova Civitas, what I brought with me from Padua, because it was your idea to go for the Nova Civitas, is of course connected to education. And then Civitas is not just a geographical situation, but it is an immaterial approach, as a matter of fact. Education is crucial in combating racism and xenophobia, and in imparting basic values of private, social and civic life, such as solidarity, tolerance and understanding of cultural diversity. First of all, we have to understand what cultural diversity has in its shelf. It can also help promote the ability of people to participate in the democratic decision-making process and participation in civil society. A common thread running through our core opinions had been a focus on using education and training actions as a key to promoting social cohesion. As we all know, it is basic for the union, hopefully, that going from economic to social cohesion, we have, as it is enshrined in the Lisbon Treaty, we have to go to territorial cohesion. And as I already am saying, territorial cohesion is the other side of the coin of the free movement of people. Territorial cohesion means that people have to have the choice to make their life where they want to make their life without any prejudice. And this refers, of course, to the concept of interconnecting people, even the place they are living, they are working, they are staying. Today, we can see that a large group of young people with inadequate basic education either interrupt their studies or abandon compulsory education together. Another trend, less access to higher education of social groups leads to less mutual understanding. And we have to make this correlation as well. The Committee of the Regions has consistently supported the promotion of access for disadvantaged groups to union programs in these fields. And the issue of access is inextricably linked to a lifelong learning approach to education and training, which ensures that each individual can reach their full potential to meet the challenges of a rapidly changing world. This means, of course, ensuring maximum advantage of opportunities provided by new technologies, by equipping everyone with the skills they need for this digital age. And as we know, young people, more than less young people, I'm not speaking about old people, evidently less young people, yeah, you are already interconnected. And we know that the social networks are playing an important role. Looking to the revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt, someone was saying that it was a social networked revolution put in place. One out of the questions is to know if it is possible to make revolutions with Facebook. Would it be also possible to make good governance by Facebook? That's one out of the questions we have to raise. But there has not to be antagonism between the one and the other. Third question, how to create an integrated vision for education policy, and notably how to link education better into the new Union 2020 strategy, as Professor Papiska, you referred to. Education and training systems are very often developed in total isolation from the enterprise environment and labor market demands of a locality or region, despite the fact that the development of an area is increasingly dependent on the skills of its current and future workforce. And it's one out of the big favorites of the Union to act many times behind the closed doors. And so one of the major aims of the Union 2020 strategy to go for this smart, inclusive and sustainable growth is a big shift when we compare it to the Lisbon strategy of 2000. And when there is at this moment a discussion what is predominant, is it the Union 2020 policy? Or are that the sectoral policies in the Union? Or is it still the cohesion policy, what refers to more than one third of the budget of the Union? So in my view, when we look to the Union 2020 strategy, it is may I say, the political program of the Union, and there other policies have to be instrumental to achieve better than we did looking to the Lisbon strategy of the former decade. Recently, I learned that in terms of academic publications, the European Union is actually ahead of the United States. However, when we compare the number of publications that are also commercialized afterwards, the US is clearly ahead of us. So there's one out of the questions is in which way research and development will not be lost backdoors when front doors we are really very good. So in this way, I think that we have to reflect. That the so-called knowledge triangle is quintessence for the future, not only of Europe, but also for the entire world. And that's a reason why there has not to be any antagonism between entrepreneurial education and intercultural education. I was lastly in the west of Ireland, where they are confronted, of course, with the crisis and where a lot of things are going in a difficult way. But the small community of the Kerry region, west of Ireland, they are interconnected in the meantime, and this will be their solution to overcome the crisis, to be interconnected with other regions in Europe, just to give this example. And it brings me also to the, may I say, the reflection that we have more and more to focus on functional educational areas. As we know, there is a more or less rigid system of educational programs. By the way, even when the major responsibility is in the hands of the member states, regional and local authorities as well, I believe that we have to go for the transgression of the borders and that we have to go for functional educational areas. And there at you, and I know the importance your university was given to the European Groupment on Territorial Cooperation, I have just not to remind but to stress at you that the EGTCs are giving the opportunity to not just be neighboring regions but to put in place common programs, educational, research, development programs, intercultural programs between regions, may I say, living 2,000 kilometers from each other. So I think it's important to rethink rigid structures in Europe in terms of new functional areas, not even only in terms of cohesion, but also in terms of education. And also we know that there is a gap between the creative potential of Europe and its economic advantages. The communities of creativity and innovation are often not well connected. Very few European early stage companies using innovative technologies have grown to become global leaders in their sector. And therefore I was very pleased that 2009 was earmarked as the European Year for Innovation and Creativity. You referred also to these two basic pillars, innovation and creativity. Today, there is a clear acknowledgement of the existence of this gap, and several initiatives have been taken in order to bridge it, amongst others by showing with concrete examples the value of the concepts of creativity and innovation. Innovation, one of the cornerstones of the European policy. But what could be innovation? Innovation is a chief driver and promoter of economic developments in European regions. After all, the creative industry sector is one of the fastest growing sectors in the global economy. Creative industries add to the welfare of European citizens in ways that go beyond the purely economic, especially in times of change. Creativity is the ability to find new solutions in the most varied fields of human activity and is the sine qua non of technical, cultural, societal, and interrelated innovation. And to succeed in European and global competition, regions must develop their creative potential and capacity for innovation. Therefore, education is crucial in encouraging creativity. And I am convinced that in this field there is a scope to do better. What does it mean? More emphasis should be placed on early preschool learning and primary education for the development of basic competences. It has the knowledge, the skills and attitudes that equip people to live and work in modern European society and to acquire additional knowledge. Creative problem-solving abilities and innovative thinking must be an integral part of all formal educational processes. Because, let's be honest and clear, we have the challenges in common. Consequently, it is obvious that there is a need to include entrepreneurship in education programs. And that is one out of the regions. Why, as at that time president of the Committee of the Regions, I initiated the European Entrepreneurial Region Scheme, inspired by the European cultural capitals of the past, where it was one of the first connecting programs between cities in the meantime and twin cities at this moment. So the only reason was not just to award a region for this strategy, but to interconnect them. And I give you just the example of the three first nominees, the regions of Brandenburg, Kerry and Murcia, where at they are going for networking between their not only public institutions, but also the so-called civil society actors. However, next to the promotion of innovation, creativity and entrepreneurship, care should also be taken to provide sufficient training in humanities and values, because they are universal. It's important to give the teaching of European history and culture the attention it deserves within the education system. In this connection, we should draw particular attention to the importance of multilingualism as a prerequisite to educate truly European citizens. And may I say multilingualism, and the language, and the other language, it is not just a question of our identity, the way we are expressing ourselves. The second dimension is, of course, communication. But the third, and even the most important one, thinking in terms of interconnecting the knowledge of languages, is a democratic value. Because it would not be the aim to go for European integration, European policy making, and to do it in a language that is not connected to our own feelings, our own identity as well. So I don't think that it was, or it can be, in fact, the part to follow. It's my conviction that through a common education policy based on shared values, we strengthen the union integration process in educating future generations that have the capacity to truly engage in an intercultural dialogue. Of course, we know all the wonderful Erasmus program. At this moment, about 1.6 million people moving through Europe. So it's my conviction that to go for a more integrated European citizenship, there has to be also launched an Erasmus program for politicians and policy shapers, because the unknown is, of course, one out of the big problems. In the meantime, we know that universities are all connected. Even being in Padua, we close our eyes and we can be in Leuven or Salamanca or wherever in Europe. But so there is still a gap for the humble politicians. Through their strategically well-placed position, local and regional authorities are able to promote multidimensional partnerships and networks. bringing together all relevant actors, in particular bringing together the world of education and training on the one hand and the world of work in the other. And in order to develop a coordinated education and training industrial and employment policy of benefit to the entire European Union. But here we have to make the connection between subsidiarity and multi-level governance. And that's the reason why we have to widen the purpose of multi-level governance, not just in institutional approaches, but we have to think in terms of multi-level governance and multi-level actors on protection, referring to the Stockholm program, very important at this moment. Multi-level and multi-actorship in environment, multi-level and multi-actorship on decentralized cooperation with other countries in at the globe. And in this respect, we have continuously called for the promotion of multi-level governance and network structures at union level, in particular coordinated by local and regional authorities. And these multi-level governance arrangements are particularly valuable in tackling the challenges of unemployment and providing an integrated approach where, in many instances, fragmentary approaches currently exist. When the European Commission decided to make the European Area for Lifelong Learning a reality, one of the practical results which the Commission achieved in cooperation with the Committee of the Regions was the, what we call in the meantime, the Learning Regions. The Regional Network for Lifelong Learning launched in April 2003 in Brussels. This is, in my view, an excellent example of dissemination and development of lifelong learning in Europe. Obviously, we would welcome several other initiatives of this type that can rapidly take hold and actively contribute towards stimulating European integration at grassroots level. Another key point concerns the further promotion, as I said already before, of mobility in the Union. Mobility projects are extremely important for the local and regional level. It is often the small mobility projects that make, may I say, the significant impact and can advance the idea of European integration, active citizenship, and intercultural dialogue between all levels of governance. Local and regional authorities bear indeed a major responsibility for shaping and supporting our rich variety of culture and organizing cultural activities and have a key role in promoting the development of networks in the cultural sector. And I was questioning Professor Beekmans a few minutes ago. We have the wonderful idea of the Jean Monnet chairs, the centers of excellence, but probably one day we have to think on a Jean Monnet Institute, where at this moment, when we have the British Council, the Goethe Institute, Les Alliances Françaises, that one day it would be interesting to bring the cornerstones to such a Jean Monnet Institute to just make clear that all over all chairs and all over centers of excellence, there has to be some funding rationale and to bring critical mass together. Concerning the field of culture, we have as always stressed that cultural diversity is one of the defining characteristics of the European Union. A diversity that has significantly increased with the accession of 12 new member states, and also looking to the Eastern Partnership with the six countries in place and also to the Union for the Mediterranean, I think that intercultural dialogue based on diversity is not just a question of luxury approach, it is quintessence, and it is evident that we are faced and challenged every day at new in this new situation. Ladies and gentlemen, dear students, let me now come to some reflections on the Europe 2020 strategy and notably its governance and relation with the Union cohesion policy, also related to education and young people. As special advisor to the European Commission for regional policy, it's my task to make some concrete proposals as to how to step up ownership, coherence and partnership in these fields. Ownership, coherence and partnership. As you all know, the Union 2020 strategy is the successor of the Lisbon strategy, and the objectives of the strategy are threefold. We know it in the meantime, but we have to repeat it, bis tris repetita placet, stimulating smart, sustainable and inclusive growth. The strategy sets out five quantifiable headline targets to be reached by 2020, and one of them concerns, evidently, education. It is that the share of early school leavers should be under 10%, one out of the big problems we have to face, and that at least 40% of the younger generation should have a tertiary degree by 2020. Again, I reiterate that these targets are only valid for the Union level. Consequently, these targets will have to be translated into member states' so-called national reform programs. And in contrast to the Lisbon strategy, these programs will now be submitted to the Commission together with each member state's what is called stability of convergence programs. This will happen for the first time in April next, under the umbrella of the so-called European semester. Hence, growth enhancing measures will be carefully studied together with the budgetary picture the Commission receives of each state. And in contrast with the Lisbon strategy, the Europe 2020 strategy introduces also what is called in the meantime seven flagship initiatives that will be initiated at the Union level and that are to complement member states' actions on the ground. From educational point of view, three out of the seven. What shows the importance of education to go to the integrated European approach, three out of seven flagships are of particular interest. First, the digital agenda for Europe initiative that will speed up the rollout of high-speed internet and reap the benefits of the digital single market for households, firms and education centers. Secondly, a Union agenda for new skills and jobs to modernize labor markets and empower people by developing their skills throughout the life cycle with a view to increase labor participation and better match labor supply and demand, including to labor mobility. And third, the Youth on the Move flagship. The Youth on the Move flagship to enhance the performance of education systems and to facilitate the entry of young people to the labor market. Let us focus for a few moments on this flagship, Youth on the Move flagship initiative. This initiative was presented by the European Commission on the 15th of September 2010, together with a proposal for a council recommendation on a new learning mobility. Learning mobility. The same day, the Commission has launched public consultation on the future post-2013 programmes on lifelong learning, youth and Erasmus Mundus. Youth on the Move aims at helping young people to gain the knowledge, the skills and the experience they need to make their future in the new reality. The initiative proposes 28 key actions, mostly to be launched in 2010-2011, so today, in the field of lifelong learning system, higher education, learning mobility and youth employment. There are a lot of proposed actions, I will not enumerate them all, but there are recommendations on vocational training, information websites, facilitate mobility, policy development, proposal for the future programs generation, and so on. And of course, the direct link with the European social funds. From a cohesion point of view, It's important that the role of the European social funds is clearly highlighted in the flagship. Therefore, the union co-financing will help regional and local authorities to deliver on the above-mentioned actions. Today, about 60% of cohesion spending is already Europe 2020 earmarked. And in its fifth cohesion report, the European Commission made it very clear that this figure is likely to be stepped up as cohesion policy to become the main instrument at the union level to help member states reaching the Europe 2020 targets. And that's also important that, speaking in terms of cohesion, that, as I said before, we have to go for more integrated policies. And for this reason, the seventh program, framework program, has to be connected to the other programs of the union and not, as it was too long the case, to be disconnected to the other policies. It has also to be instrumental to the global cohesion approach, and cohesion can only be based on education as a matter of fact. Therefore, in making a stronger link between cohesion policy and the Europe 2020 strategy, the role of regions and cities is to be firmly stepped up, and therefore the explicit recognition of multi-level governance in the regulation laying down the rules of the funds is a prerequisite for the success of the seven flagships and the strategy as a whole. So it is not just only to make some nice ideas and to give them. I'm absolutely in favor to put this principle of multi-level governance in the regulation as well in the guidelines for the future period 2014-2020. Second, also partnerships with the socio-economic and civil society actors as NGOs, universities and centers of excellence is to be stepped up as their valuable expertise and knowledge is to be more taken into account in the development of the appropriate territorial strategies and the delivery of all seven flagships on the ground. And in my view, a kind of cooperation index is to be established, measuring the degree of participative governance in the regions and the member states. Multi-level governance, multi-actorship as well. And to make this match, the allocation of a part of the funds could then be made conditional on concrete governance and partnerships advancements. I know it's a little bit revolutionary, and we see and we know the hesitations and the reluctance of people when I was together last Friday in Ljubljana with a lot of people of the European Commission. They say, it can be a good idea, so we have to achieve. It's always in life. There are 10 arguments to do nothing. There is only one argument to do something. So that is what we have to acknowledge. But so I think that we have to reflect on this cooperation index as well. Furthermore, the union tables could name, shame or praise public authorities. I know that is a little bit scholastic, but in historical perspective, sometimes you have to be coercive. Now, shaming, you can do it in a gentle way, but praising, that can be done in the right way. So, excelling regions that respect the partnership governance paradigm could consequently gain even one out of the proposals by the resolution of the European Parliament of the 14th of December last, can even gain a multi-level governance label, and so I think that could be a positive element. As from this year, we will present what we call a multi-level governance scoreboard measuring the degree of openness of certain key union policies towards the promotion of multi-level governance and partnership. Also, we are in the process of drafting a European Charter on Multi-Level Governance together with the Congress of Local and Regional Authorities of the Council of Europe, spelling out the core principles of participative governance. Public authorities commit themselves to respecting their decision-making process. And now I'm starting my new opinion, draft opinion, to just go for the essentials on this European Charter on multi-level governance, being appointed as rapporteur on this issue. My dear professors, ladies and gentlemen, dear students, a European education policy based on the shared values and the inclusion of innovation, creativity and entrepreneurship in our education programs is vital to overcoming the economic downturn and the challenges this poses to each individual, the economy and society as a whole. Local and regional authorities have a strategic place in promoting this trend, and through their position, they are able to promote multidimensional partnership and networks, bringing together all relevant actors in an intercultural dialogue, even going beyond the borders of the Union, resulting in joint actions on the ground. And this conference, this workshop, provides an excellent opportunity to exchange information and bring actors from very diverse fields and sectors together. To me, this partnership between different sectors and levels of decision makers and actors is yet another example of multi-level governance and actorship that we need to bring Europe back to the fore. And in a world with which has become increasingly interdependent and competitive, governments together with socio-economic and civil society actors at all levels of governance have to seize opportunities together. It is vital for the European Union to be in a position to put firm, defend, and flexibly adapt its unique development model in this changing multipolar and multi-actor world that we are living in. And in my view, we have now a window of opportunity to make the case for a strong European Union based on an intelligent system of multi-level governance and a shared partnership culture. The contributions of the Jean Monnet Center of Excellence of your unique university are in this respect highly valuable, as it is, and I have give this testimonial to the students as well, as you are the first center in Europe and even in the world to put multi-level governance at the heart of its research. And for this reason, I think that it is important to make the connection, the structural one, with European institutions, and I will not be your ambassador. Would it be possible to be your ambassador, your modest civil serving person? But I'm sure that focusing on this really new importance, even, ladies and gentlemen, it could be one day a solution for the Belgian situation. You never know. Eh? And in this way, I'm really grateful to you. You remember, certainly, one day, at that time, President of the United States was questioned about, Mr. President, what is the real challenge we have to face? And then the answer was, it's the economy, stupid. Today, I'm saying, it's the education, stupid. Thank you so much for your attention. Costruiamo insieme a Europa. Thank you.